good morning once again. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Colossians 3. If you remember last week, I gave you half of what I had. Remember that? Because the Lord did crazy things to me in the morning. So I've been kind of going over this again, and one of the things that my kids told me they really appreciated about the message last time was the interactive part. So we're going to have another little interactive part here. Being the week before Thanksgiving, one of the things that we enjoy doing around our table before we eat is sharing things that we are thankful for. Now that our table is, you know, grown a little bit, we've kind of gone down to just one thing. So what I would love for you to do for me today is, there are any volunteers who would be willing to just very briefly, okay, we don't want 5 or 6, you know, minutes of this is what I'm thankful for. Just share a little bit about what you're thankful for, and then we'll move on. Anybody would like to be second? Because no one wants to be first. So who would like to share something they're thankful for? Dave.
I'd like to say I'm thankful for this church.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave. We love you too. Anyone else? Abby. Allie. That's Abby. Allie.
I'm thankful for my pastor.
Oh, man. She's jonesing for a good Christmas present. I'm just saying that right now. Anyone else? Yes, Jim.
I'm thankful for all the prayers I've received. Because when I'm doing treatments and everything, I know people are praying for me. So I really appreciate that. The Lord's been good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Andrew.
For my fiance.
And we're not even live streaming, so she can appreciate that. That's great. That's great. I will say that we are thankful for her, too. Not just that she's taking him off our hands. I'm just kidding. No, we have been praying for Clara even before we knew who she was, ever since Andrew was born, and all of our kids, we've been praying that God would lead them to the man or woman that He has for them, and so we're just thankful for that as well. Michael.
I second Jim's sentiments exactly about the prayers and lifting up and just to be alive.
Amen. 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 You, I gotta say, you both look good.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Patty.
I'm just thankful that I didn't get a car accident when my tire fell off.
Amen. 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 Yeah, you know, Dave was sharing how there was a big accident on your normal route.
Yes.
That God may have just been preventing you from being a part of. So. Amen. Thank God. Yes. Anybody else? Don't want to close this off. This is great. Randy.
I'm thankful that a friend of ours, Jason, and me, for that matter, just woke up and seen the light, got their lives straightened out.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Abby.
I'm thankful for a house big enough to hold all of my family.
So am I.
And that the Lord has given us the ability to take our foster kids in and to be able to give them a home, even though it's hard. And I'm also thankful for hockey, which is a great vice. It's a great vice during stressful times. So you can yell at a screen and not yell at little children.
It's true. Yes. Jeremy. That's Randy. Jeremy. Well, that what you're thankful for? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You are.
No, go ahead.
She's not here for this to
Jesus, God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I second that.
Yeah. Marilyn.
Don't think. I'm thankful for you and John. I have many friends that have lost their husbands, and I am so thankful I still have them.
Amen. We're thankful that he's still around, too. Amen. Nancy.
I will second what Mary Lou said about Al. You know, he's too laundry. I don't take that opportunity very often to tell him how thankful I am.
Amen.
We are too.
Amen. Denny.
At our YMCA, we have a turkey in the lobby with feathers for things you're thankful for. So this isn't just today, but my first feathers for my wife.
Hallelujah.
We've been married. Dirt was kind of new when we got there. And my second feather I put down there is for Grace.
Hallelujah.
And boy, both of them, what a mess. I mean, I'm kind of a project as is, but with those two, it really, really helps.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Got time for maybe one or two more? If there are one or two more. Yeah, Becky.
Well, yesterday we were married 34 years. I'm thankful for my husband. And I'm thankful he's letting me do my thing.
Thankful that he lets me do my thing. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Nancy, you got one more?
I'm just thankful no matter how elections go, how this country goes, that God's still in control.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He'll get us through it.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's thank God together. Lord God, we just thank you for every one of these things that has been mentioned, from our homes to our spouses to heat to our church to our families to our parents to the protection that you give to the grace that is ours through Jesus Christ to the grace that is ours through you. Because you are the one who put it all into motion and put it all into place. Lord, we just want to thank you that we have the opportunity here in this country, as screwed up as it is, to still meet in places like this without fear of the door being kicked in and all of us being dragged off to jail or worse. Lord, we are thankful that it is because of you, and we as a congregation, we as a people right now, Lord, we recognize that it is because of you that we have those freedoms. It's not because of a document that's on display in Washington. It's because you gave us that right. And Lord, that we have these protected freedoms in this country. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to just continue to be thankful. To be thankful for the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the clean water that we have to drink. Lord, that's something we take for granted, but in a lot of parts of our world, it's not. Lord, I pray that I thank you for the homes that we have shelter in. I thank you for the opportunities that you give us, Lord, to provide for our families and to provide for those who are less fortunate. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to keep, to be mindful of those things and to honor you and thank you for those opportunities. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would be honored and glorified in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, you remember that we began a message that that we were trying to see how we can make Thanksgiving just a great holiday, and part of it is what we just did, right? Is encouraging one another with our ways of the things that we are thankful for. We talked about a number of different, well, we'll jump into those in a minute. Let's read our scripture passage together. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and I ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we read it together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Let's read it together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and then put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with passion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the truth that we see therein. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth this morning would not be my own, but that they would be yours. I pray that you would use them in the power of the Spirit to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish, not only in my life, but Lord, in all of our lives. We thank you, give you praise, in Jesus' name, amen. So, last time, we began by looking at the things that we focus on. If you remember, we talked about focusing, you know, our heart focus, we talked about our mental focus, we talked about our heavenly focus, and just being able to focus on the things of heaven, to focus on the things of God and not necessarily focus on what's going on here on earth. I love what Nancy shared here at the end, is the fact that, you know, we, a lot of times, and I know I'm guilty of this, I can tend to focus on the things that are going on around me, going on in the world, and I get panicked, or I get worried, or I get nervous, and I begin to think, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But what I've got to remember is that when my focus is on heavenly things, when my focus is on Christ and where he is and what the future really holds, that all of the stuff that's going on this earth, it does not affect me as much as it should. It won't affect me as much as it should when I keep my focus where it ought to be. We talked about this idea of regeneration, putting things to death, right? Putting the things to death that belong to our earthly nature, like sexual immorality and greed and impurity and those types of things, and realizing that these are things that we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of things like anger and malice and slander and filthy language and things like that. And again, these are not exhaustive lists by any means, but these are the things that we have been been changed, right? It says we put off the old self with its practices, and we've put on the new self. Catch this, and I don't know if we really touched on this much last week, but we are putting on this. We're taking off the old self, and we're putting on the new self. Look what this says, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Think about that for a second. That in this new self that we put on, the more we get to know God, and the reason we study Scripture, and the reason we come together, and the reason we do life class, and the reason we do Bible studies, and the reason we do our own personal reading and Sunday morning messages and things like that, is so that we can build our knowledge of God, but not just for the sake of knowing God better, but for the sake of actually applying it to our lives and becoming and allowing that new self to be renewed in that knowledge so that we begin to look more like the one who created us. Think about that for just a second. It says that this new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, which is absolutely phenomenally should blow us away. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, here in this new self, there's not Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Right? So there's this idea of unity. Okay? So this idea of unity, and one of the things that God has really been pressing on my heart is this prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17. We're not going to turn there this morning, but I want you to read this. If your Bible has like headings, John chapter 17 is usually broken up into three different sections. There's a prayer that Jesus prays for himself. There's a prayer, the middle prayer is the prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples. And then the final section is a prayer that Jesus prays for all of those who will believe in me, Jesus says, because of the disciples' testimony. Guess what? That's all of us. Right? Because the disciples were faithful in their testimony of Jesus, we now have salvation. Do you realize that? Did you ever stop to think about that? That because those 12, well, 11, were faithful, 12 once they added Matthias, right? But those 12 were faithful. The early church was faithful, and not just the disciples, the apostles, or Paul or whoever it was sharing the gospel, but those people who received the gospel were then faithful to share the gospel, who were then faithful to share the gospel. On down through 2,000 years, to us here today, having received the gospel ourselves. If you want to be thankful for something this Thanksgiving, thank God not just for Christ, but for his disciples. And for the disciples of those disciples and those disciples who made disciples. You get where I'm going with this. So there's in this third section of John chapter 17, Jesus prays for us. And he says, Lord, I pray that they would be one. Listen to this. I pray that they would be one as we are one. I in you and you in me, may they be in us so that the world will know that you have sent me. Folks, there is, we talk about unity, and we're not talking about unity for the sake of agreement, because that's not what biblical unity necessarily is. It's not agreement in like every point of theology that we have to agree on. Because there are brothers and sisters, good brothers and sisters in my life, friends of mine, who believe certain things about Scripture differently than I do. And guess what? That's okay. They're not things that are going to impact salvation. They're just a different way of looking at things. And so Jesus, or Paul here is saying, look, in Christ, we are all in Christ. And so there are some things that don't matter. There are some things about in this unity that we have that don't matter. One of them is religion. Notice what he says. In Christ, there is no Gentile or Jew. That's religion, folks. That's saying that our religion doesn't matter. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that any religion will get you to heaven. Please don't misunderstand me, because that's not what I'm saying. But our religion, which is our attempt to get to God, right? It's man's attempt to get to God. That's what religion is. That, all those trappings, all those traditions, all of those things, that's not what's important. That's not what matters. He says, circumcised or uncircumcised. Again, this is part of a religious system. The Jewish system of circumcision was part of their religion. But look what he says here next. He says, there's also no barbarian or Scythian. Folks, those are races of people. And so, what doesn't matter in our unity is race. There's a lot of talk about race in our society today. There's a system of thought that says everything in society is racist, just by its nature. It all hates one group or another. And I'll be real honest with you, as I look at the church throughout history and even recent history in my lifetime, Sunday morning is probably one of the most segregated days of the week. And again, I'm not saying that our church is racist or that the church as a whole is racist, but I think that there is something here that Paul is saying that says, look, when we're talking about unity, when we're talking about putting this unity together, there are certain things that don't matter. Religion is one of them. Race is another one. Another one is status. Look at what else he says. There's no slave or free. Right? So whether you are a business owner or a business employee, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you are in positions of power or not. All of those things, there's nothing to that. But what does matter? He says, Christ is all and is in all. Christ, and again, it's not a coincidence that Christ is first, because Paul, in this very book, said that Christ is to have the supremacy. So when Paul starts talking about what actually does matter, it's not about race or religion, it's not about status, it's about Christ. And we are to focus on Him. And he goes on in verse 12 and he says, therefore, if you're following along, we're in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Now, I don't think he's talking physically, right? And again, I think it's important that we wear clothes. Just saying. But Paul says, clothe yourselves. Well, what do we clothe ourselves with, Paul? Well, these are the things that matter. Look, clothe yourself with compassion. What's compassion? It's looking at a situation or looking at someone who's in a situation and say, and having the ability to put yourself in that person's shoes. So that if there's a need, if there's a concern, and I can meet it, I'm going to do my best to do that. That's compassion. He says, clothe yourself with compassion, clothe yourself with kindness. We hear a lot about kindness today, right? We've pretty much become a society where kindness is out the window. And friends, if you want to be kind to people, and you want people to be kind to you, here's a life hack that I think will help you incredibly. Stay off Twitter and Facebook. My son said to me the other day, you know, Twitter is a cesspool of everyone's just hatred. And it's sad. But that's what it's become. It's become just a swamp of the ability to hide behind your screen and be unkind to everybody else who doesn't agree with you. But God says we need to clothe ourselves with kindness. That everything about us needs to be kind. That doesn't mean that we don't call out sin. It doesn't mean that we don't call a spade a spade. It means that we are kind in the way that we do it. He says, clothe yourself with humility. If you were with us for life class this morning, we talked a lot about that this morning. What is humility? It's not C.S. Lewis said, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So it's, you know, if you're the best at something, if you're the best in your class, if you're the best cross-country runner, if you're the best engineer, if you're the best mathematician, if you're the best whatever, then you don't say, well, I'm not really all that good. That's not humility. Humility is just realizing that God has given you what He's given you with the opportunities that comes with that to minister to other people. Clothe yourself with gentleness. That's the next word in this list. Clothe yourself with kindness, humility, and gentleness. And gentleness is gentleness defined is, I heard this definition before and I really liked it. Definition of gentleness is power under control. Right? If you think of a dam, right? Like Hoover Dam. If you look at a picture of the Hoover Dam when they open the gates and they let the water through, right? That water comes through fast, doesn't it? And there's power behind that. And that brings, you know, it turns the turbines which create energy, which is good, right? But if you look at the water behind the dam, what does it look like? It is absolutely still. And that's the picture I have of gentleness, is that that's what God wants us to be. And yes, there's power in God's Word. There's power in knowing God. There's power in knowing God's Word. But we don't come at it like the water coming through the dam, which will just, you know, wash everything away if it's not controlled. But we give it to folks in a way that they can receive. He says not only gentleness, but he says, and patience. Oh my goodness. Why does God always harp on us being patient? Because there's plenty of opportunities to be patient, right, in our lives. Whether it's the guy who's going, you know, or the farm implement you get behind when you're in a hurry to get somewhere, and traffic's coming the other way and you can't get past, right? It's time to practice patience. God calls us to put on patience. He also calls us to put on forbearance. Look at verse 13. Bear with each other. Do we need to bear with each other? That doesn't mean be a bear to each other, right? Rawr! No, it means put up with one another. There are things about each of you, I'm sure, that if I got to know you more and more and more, that would probably... I don't think I'd get along with all of you exactly the same way. No offense, I love all of you. But I'm sure there are things about Pastor Jim that would annoy you too. Yes. But we are to bear with one another. And he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Folks, look, this is how God forgave us, right? How did the Lord forgive us? He forgave us even before we asked Him for forgiveness. He made a way for us to have forgiveness before it was even sought out. Forgiveness is not necessarily about someone asking for it. Forgiveness is something that we bestow on another person, right? So that when if we're offended, or someone steps on our toes, or somebody runs us the wrong way, we can forgive even before they ask for forgiveness. It's a choice, really. It's a choice. And we ask God to forgive us. If you remember the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. And if we really mean that prayer, that assumes that we are forgiving. God, forgive me the way that I forgive. I mean, if we really believe that, I think we'd forgive a lot more and a lot more readily. But we are to put on forgiveness. And then verse 14. And this is, I love this. I love that he adds this on at the end. He says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Right? Love is the sash that puts it all together, that brings it all in and makes it all fit. I remember when I was in high school, I got our school put on a play, and unfortunately my parents and I were out of town during tryouts, so I didn't get a great part. I got kind of a bit part, which I was actually playing two different parts in the same play. But anyway, the wardrobe, of course, all of the good wardrobe went to the main players, right? So like the important people got the good stuff. And I got what was left over. And believe it or not, in those days, I was very skinny. I was probably even skinnier than Andrew in when I was in high school. And so when I came in to get fitted for my costume, the pants were like about five or six sizes too big. And so what they decided to do was to put this really tight fitting belt on it, and then a very large coat over it, so that you know the baggy bum wouldn't show. And so that was my costume, right? Low budget production, very low budget production. But whenever I think of this verse, this is what comes to mind, is that belt, which brought everything in and kept it tight so that it didn't slide off, which would have been really embarrassing. But the point of this, the point that Paul, I think, is making here is this, that when, you know, over all of these virtues that we put on love, because out of a genuine love for other people, all of these other things will flow. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. All of that will flow out of love. And when we put on love, we begin to understand what it means to really meet the law, that the perfect law, right, that gives freedom, that love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That when we grasp that, and when we hold on to that, when we begin to live by that, all of these other things begin to take care of themselves. And that's and when we want to live in unity, friends, that's where it goes. And notice, all of this stuff, it doesn't rely on what we believe. It doesn't rely on our political position. It doesn't rely on anything. Our unity lies in the fact that Christ is. Christ is all, He is in all, and He is the bottom line. By grace you have been saved through faith. The grace of Christ, the grace of God, that has given us the ability to believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, and that His death was enough to forgive us of our sin. That is where our unity comes from. It doesn't come from our doctrinal statement. It doesn't come from our constitution. It doesn't come from our national heritage. It doesn't come from our skin tone. It comes from God. It comes from Christ. Paul finishes this section and he says in verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Peace has to rule in our hearts. Now, we've had conversations before about what peace is. Peace is not the absence of conflict, right? Peace is the absence of fear. We can be caught up in some very intense conflicts with people. And some of those conflicts, even in the church, they need to happen. There are times when, you know, Paul says in other places that if someone's caught in a sin, you need to get them out. You need to help them out. You need to point it out, and you need to help them understand that they need to stop living this way. But there can still be peace in the midst of that. Peace is not the absence of conflict, it's the absence of fear. And that courage, that bravery, those are things that must rule in our hearts. It says, let that, and notice that it's not our own peace. Notice what he says. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Was Christ ever afraid? Yeah. Garden of Gethsemane, folks. Let's be honest there. Jesus did not want to endure the cross. He didn't want to. In his body, in his flesh, he didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to deal with that. He was praying to God, if there is any other way, let's take that route because I don't want to face this. But we know that he went to the cross, didn't he?
Yes.
This is the peace of Christ, that no matter what we face, no matter how fearful it might be, we know that Christ went there first. We know that Christ conquered death, that God conquered sin, that Jesus conquered the grave, that in Christ we can have a peace that passes all understanding. And that's the kind of peace that has to rule in our hearts. Why? Because as members of one body, we were called to peace. But not only does peace need to rule, look at the last phrase that Paul tacks in there at the last bit of that verse 15, and be thankful. It's one of the reasons why we're celebrating this week, right? It's to give thanks, to be thankful. Thank God for who He is. Thanks for what Christ has done. Verse 16, let the message of Christ, God's Word, must rule in our hearts as well. Let the peace, or the message of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So there's three things at work here. There's teaching at work. There's admonishing at work. Admonishing is not, you know, admonishing is saying, hey, you're screwing up here, get it right. So that's at work. There's teaching and there's admonishing and there's wisdom. And where does that wisdom come from? It comes from God's Word. Folks, you know, we can have a lot of differing opinions about a lot of different things. And this is something that, at least at this church, that we are very passionate about. And that is that God's Word is God's Word.
Amen.
And we believe in every word of God's Word, that it is everything that we need to live the life that God wants us to live. So we're going to come at life from God's Word. That's why we read it. That's why we look at it. That's why we stand in honor of it when we read it together. That's why we look to apply that Word to our life. Because this is truth. This is where stability and truth can be found. And if we don't agree on that, then we're going to have a hard time. And I don't mean this to be crass about it, but this might not be the church for you. If we're not willing to look at what God says in His Word and say, yes, that's exactly what He means, then we're going to have difficulty getting along. But if we can agree that God's Word is what it says it is, and that it is absolutely true, that it is the very breath of God to us, then that is where all of our teaching, all of our admonitions, all of our wisdom come from. And we let God's Word, let me try this again, we let God's Word motivate us as we sing songs, as we sing hymns, as we sing these songs from the Spirit, singing with gratitude in our hearts to God. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. These are the things that God is calling us to do as we teach and admonish and share wisdom with one another from God's Word. Peace also comes when we check our motives. And this is the last thing I want to challenge you with. Because God's Word here says in the very last verse, whatever it is that you do, Whether you're a ditch digger or whether you're a doctor or whether you're a police officer or whether you're a teacher, whether you're a housemaker, whether you're a fill in the blank. Whatever it is that you do, whether in the things that you say or the things that you do, all of it needs to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our motives need to be focused and driven from who Christ is. So when we get together this week with family and friends, and when we have our Thanksgiving meals, and we share the things that we are thankful for, that we are spending time between now and Thursday focusing on eternity and the things of heaven, allowing the Holy Spirit to regenerate our lives by taking off the old and putting on the new, by allowing unity to flow through us, to rule in us, by putting the things that matter first, and to allow people, the things that don't matter, to take a back seat. And let's allow peace and thankfulness and God's Word to rule the day, not our own desires, not our own passions, not our own what we feel is right or true. And I guarantee that when we put these things into practice this week, that this Thanksgiving will be huge. And we'll make Thanksgiving great again. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for all that You have done for us, and we thank You for all that that You've given us through Him. Lord, we pray that You would help us to keep our eyes focused on eternity, that You would help us to keep our eyes focused on heaven, that You would help us, Lord, to know that in Christ all the things that we have are found. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be able to put to death those things of our earthly nature, to put away those things that cause You pain, that we would have unity in the Spirit, Lord, because of who Christ is. And Lord, out of that, may all of those wonderful things that and especially, Lord, love that pulls it all together, that would be a part of our lives, that would be a characteristic of our lives from the day for days and days to come. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to allow Your Word to rule, to allow Your peace to rule, to have hearts that are thankful, that thankfulness would rule in our hearts, so that we might be able to share with each other, to teach and admonish and share wisdom with one another, Lord, in all of its different forms, that we would be strengthened and encouraged, that we might do all that we do to the glory of God the Father, to Your glory, God, to in the name of Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.